telling y'all right now, talking about a 45-minute podcast.
Let's do this.
We got to give them at least an hour and 15 minutes. At least, no, actually, we got to give them at least an hour and 10 minutes.
Well, the intro song and the outro song, that adds a few minutes to it, right?
You think our intro song and outro song adds a few minutes? We can listen to the audio podcast?
We can make it last.
We can let it rock for 4 minutes before we even talk.
Yeah.
But we let it go like 8 seconds before we start talking.
No, I think we should take a stand right now and go 4 minute intro song, 4 minute outro song. That gives me 8 minutes here.
60 minutes, baby. We need look, one day we're gonna be on air. We're gonna be on someone's network, someone's streaming network. 60 minutes. I want 15 minutes is not what they're looking for.
Hey, if we on somebody's streaming network, they're going to say, you go as long as you want to, pal.
You know what I mean? We got to get
the folks at least an hour and 15 minutes. They love the 2.5-hour shows, and y'all trying to give them 45 minutes, and it only came out because you guys going to run this damn show today. I said, I'm going to intro the pod. I'm getting out the way. Life is life for me. Y'all got it today. I ain't got much to talk about and to bring up. I got some stuff probably to talk about, but I ain't got much to bring up. Y'all got it. So I'm going to intro this thing. We're going to see where this show is. This is episode 188 of the TFW podcast. That's Freaking Wrestling. I know my guy, Bull A, said he don't like when we say it, but it's still true. The best kept secret in wrestling podcast. Till we get to where we need to get to,
right?
It is the best kept secret. Shout out to Wole. A lot of positive feedback from last week's episode. Thank you for everybody who listened and who watched on YouTube. Y'all know where we are at this point. We're on YouTube. We're on Instagram. We're on X. That's FNW. That's Freaking Wrestling on YouTube. We are Three the Hard Way. Of course, you guys know that. I am Matt, your host, your favorite talker out here in these streets. I do have that lady right there, Rhodesia. You got to say something so you pop up on camera. Still don't know how this production thing works. There you go.
Well, I just want you to keep talking because now that 45 minutes minus 8 minutes minus this intro. We're good right now. Keep going.
Ishan is in the house. I'm sure he's on a damn WWE 2K25 high over there. He's probably read every damn tweet. An article about this video game that is coming out. Shout out to everybody who listens, the freaks out there. We love y'all. I told you guys, we are on the march to 1,000 subscribers on YouTube. Tell a friend, tell a family member to get up on the TFW podcast. So, at this point, intro is done. 2 minutes and about 42 seconds.
Not my count.
On the audio. It's done. Rhodesia and Ishan. Throw it to you guys.
Okay, so where do we want to start at? I don't mind talking because I could just bullshit for another 35 minutes. I'm good at that. I could do that. It's just that if somebody try to call me out on some receipts and they say, well, that didn't happen, then that's when I get stuck. But other than that, we can rock and roll. What's the hottest topic right now, E?
So we know I hit the fellas and the ma'am up earlier today. I'm like, hey, what y'all want to talk about? Matt said, thanks for your text, right? I had to make sure this wasn't Apple Intelligence, like, because I thought that's what it was, but he literally said, thanks for your text, actually. So I'm like, oh, okay. Because ain't a lot happening right now, y'all. Ain't a lot happening right now in wrestling right now. And I'm curious, Matt, because, you know, we talked about the WrestleMania season. We should be having lots to talk about right now, because we got WrestleMania in just 2 months. And I feel like we had a couple of down shows back to back. But let's start with SmackDown real quick, though, Rhodesia, because I'm curious. Did you watch SmackDown, by the way? I'm sorry. We didn't have the production meeting, so I don't know.
So last time I came on this show and said I didn't watch SmackDown, and I was ridiculed.
I paid a fool that said I watched SmackDown. You got so irritated.
You got so mad.
You would have thought somebody called you out of your name.
Hell, the way you react.
It's not like they said Rhodesia.
I was like, since when is watching SmackDown a damn crime around here?
You don't watch no damn SmackDown.
Nobody watch no damn SmackDown. Who you think you're talking to? I don't watch wrestling. Now, granted, she don't really fucking watch wrestling. She just listens to wrestling, and she gets me to break down the little mini review for her. So that could be what it was. It could be her external just came out internally in that moment. But this week, didn't you? I know I watched.
I don't recall all of SmackDown right now. The wonderful show on SmackDown.
You had Solo.
That is wonderful 3 hours of Jacob beautiful goodness.
Went head to head. They went face to face. Solo showing up in all white.
Hey, real quick, before I end it, I'm just curious because I like peeking into the household of the Matt and Rhodesia. I'm only there maybe once a year, maybe once every other year. How do you not know if she watched or not? You guys don't watch together?
Some of these days run together, man. Mm-hmm. They do. And like right now for me, like I've been running like really hard. So I got like a lot going on. Which, hey, you rather have a lot going on than nothing going on. But
hey, listen, you know I get that, man. You asked me a question about some kind of pod schedule. He's like, I already gave it to you. Like, brother, I don't remember what I did an hour ago.
And look,
and I'm not joking because literally somebody asked me a question about something I said to them an hour ago. I had no idea what the fuck they were talking about. I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, you just
hours
said,
nuts,
like,
me? Though, brother.
Like, literally, I'm like, though you just said, like, what the fuck are you talking about? I said nothing to you like that an hour ago.
So now I'm going to start. What was it that you said that you don't remember?
Man, it's boring business stuff.
It's work stuff.
Yeah, it's work stuff. Yeah, it was just like it was like an agenda, and like I guess I called it. I had no idea. You know what Rhodesia said? I don't watch no damn SmackDown. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? Right?
I can't use the F word.
Right? But that's what I thought in my mind when they asked me that question. And I'm like, oh, I did say that an hour ago. Son of a bitch.
Fuck Mr. T. We got Mr. E. That's nuts. That's insane.
I can rock with that. I can rock with Mr. E.
So I think I only tweeted once on Friday night. And it wasn't because there were some good parts to that show. But I think my tweet Friday was, man, these 3 hours is kicking SmackDown's ass right now. It is. Like, that last hour was really good. I thought the women's match was great. I think both may have been that last hour, if I'm not mistaken. The reveal of allegedly Liv Morgan and Raquel, I'm sure you guys are going to talk about that. We want to talk about that. I think that was in the third hour. The triple threat main event was in the third hour, but it's the 3 hours of that show. So I don't put that up to the WrestleMania season because I'm still enjoying Raw. Like, I thought Raw was really good this week overall, but I did come up with a, what you call it? Like, not a summarization, but I came up
recap?
With, no, not really a recap. But so last week we talked about on the podcast with Wole about people saying what he just said, like WrestleMania season, don't feel like WrestleMania season, people not really feeling it. So we put it out there on the podcast and we, you know, I said, hey, leave comments, you know, leave messages about what you guys thought. There was one particular comment, or I should say person, that continued to come up. And that was The Rock. Rock's not there. Rock being there last year kind of spoiled us. It was a lot of Dwayne The Rock Johnson. And I said it tongue-in-cheek, and this is, of course, tongue-in-cheek. But I said, then the Cody Crybabies fucked the game up for us then. Because if everybody is saying it feels different this year because The Rock's not there. Roman's there. Cody's there. Seth's there. Punk's there. Drew's there. Like, all your main people from last year are still there in pretty prime positions.
Not Roman, though.
He's there as much as he was last year. you'll see between Elimination Chamber and WrestleMania. But I think the big one is, I think we will really see. Now, if we're having this same conversation, and I think the build to WrestleMania is fine. We only got two matches officially announced.
Three.
That's a big part of it. What's the third one?
Sammy and KO.
No, that's for Elimination Chamber.
That's Elimination Chamber.
So oh, we're talking about Mania. Attention. I'm sorry.
I'm
looking at the card for Elimination Chamber.
And Elimination Chamber looks pretty good. But I think, E, when it comes down to the Mania build, because they are building still to Elimination Chamber, which is a stadium show. Like, they still got to get to that. I think if we're having any type of conversation about WrestleMania build 2 weeks after Elimination Chamber, it may be time to, like, fire off some alarms with, hey, what are we doing with the booking? But until then, man, we got 2 weeks to Elimination Chamber. Next Saturday, then let's talk. Once Roman comes back, once we know who won the women's and men Elimination Chamber, there's no way that the hype for WrestleMania does not start increasing significantly.
You asked about what do we do in the household. Like, for instance, the memories are starting to come back as far as Friday. Most afternoons or evenings when we get home, there's a lot of laptop work being done, and a lot of time we're cooking. So, and getting that kind of stuff together. So, yes, I do rely on Matt to recap stuff, but there's a lot of times where if I'm in the kitchen cooking some food, I can't hear what they just said on commentary. And I'm like, hey, Matt, what did they say? So I can understand Matt saying that he's kind of just giving me the rundown on what we just heard and just saw. But that's the reason why a lot of times I'm like, I ain't watch no SmackDown, because I was in the middle of breaking down the rest of the week and trying to have a joyful weekend. But on SmackDown, I did bring up something to Matt, and I said, and he's like, this is a great idea to bring up on the show. I was trying to play the podcast, but I played it on the laptop instead of my phone, and it pulled up the last time I listened to our podcast on my laptop. And believe it or not, it was episode 26, and it was dated March 24th of 2023, so 2 years ago. And guess what the topic was, E?
What's that?
It was the build to WrestleMania being flat. And that was March 24th. So now, of course, this 2023. So this is going into 39. So we were talking about how the build been lackluster. You know, we're saying the build is actually just starting. But just even 2 years ago, a week or two from Mania, we had a podcast talking about how we felt about the build being kind of lackluster. So I thought that that was important to kind of just bring back up 2 years later. We're kind of at the same point. But at this point, we still have 5-6 weeks to go.
I'll be interested to listen to those shows because right? Matt typically creates the topics and also like the title of our podcast. So I think he was also hating on Cody at the time. So I don't think he was into the Cody movement going to WrestleMania. That's just what it is. You know what I'm saying? Like, we ain't got AI, we got Matt I, who makes the titles for everything. So that's based on his opinion. I don't know what we actually discussed. But I will say though, and I think I understand, you know, Matt's perspective as far as like once we get closer to Mania, we're getting excited. Like right now, like WWE is hot, so people are going to be excited for whatever they give us. I just think that it's also fair to say, you know, with last year, you know, there was a lot of stuff going on right now. Like I know as a Cody fan, I was very excited for WrestleMania because I knew what the end game was. It's just like, you know, when you go to a movie, right? You know what the end of the last 30 minutes of that movie is going to be. It's going to be the protagonist versus the antagonist, like the good guy versus the bad guy. It's going to be the Avengers versus Thanos. You know that's what you're going to get. And then it's the anticipation into that last battle, right, that you're going to get, right? Mm-hmm. For the past couple of years, we knew what that. We knew what the end game was. We knew what that last final boss fight was going to be, right? And it was just everything in between that just was like just get anticipating that fight. I don't think right now we know what the actual end boss is. We don't know what that last 15 minutes before the credit roll is going to be at this particular point. And then to be honest with you, the available options aren't what we had in the past, right? Like we don't have the story. I think they're trying to remanufacture that with Jay, you know, winning the world title right now with Gunther. They're actually finally building him up strong, which they should have. This Gunther that we have for the past couple of weeks is the same Gunther we had on his IC run.
Yeah.
That should have never stopped. So I think right. They're trying to remanufacture like the same feeling we had with the Finisher story with Jay. But I don't think as much as we like Jay, and he might even be more popular than Cody ever was, right? Based on his reactions to the crowd right now. But I just don't feel like it's as natural as that Finisher storyline was. So, I just don't feel like that.
You know what, E? So two things on that. And it's funny you bring that up. One, if you remember, this time last year, we were right in the midst of I'm going to get it, but not at WrestleMania. Maybe down to the week.
Right.
So that was the whole thing, too, yeah. Of, whoa, they can't be pulling this.
There's a lot going on.
They can't be doing that. So we're really excited about that. But your point about Jay and Gunther, I did feel like, in my opinion, it was a little heavy-handed on Raw Monday with the underdog story of Jay. I get mm-hmm. he's never beaten Gunther. And I know that's the story evidently they're going now is he's the underdog. Like, there's no chance he can beat Gunther. But it was, for me, a little bit like, is that the story we're telling? Because he shouldn't be an underdog in any fight that he's in. He's the most popular guy right now. He gets a rock star reaction. Hell, he comes out with every single hip-hop artist they have. They come out, hey, put him with Jay. Have them do their thing when they come out. So, like, he's one of the most popular stars in the entire industry. But I'm supposed to now believe for the next 7 weeks that he just has no shot of beating Gunther.
Well, remember, like, Matt, you listen to our podcast, like somebody on the show told y'all what the story was going to be for WrestleMania with Jay and Gunther, that he's going to be an underdog and this is going to be his redemption all with all the losses that he's had, right? We said on Saturday Night Main Event that maybe that was the plan, right? To create that storyline, like, look, you can't beat this guy. You gave this man everything you had and you couldn't win that night. What's going to be different for WrestleMania? That's the story they're going, right? And like, again, I think they're really trying to manufacture a similar experience that we had last year when Cody won, right? It was exhilarating. Like, I don't, like, as long as I've been a fan, I've never, like, of course, Cody's my guy, but I've had other guys that I've been super invested into over the years as well. And I've never been that happy and excited. And also, I feel good I can come back on the podcast and rub y'all nasty ass noses and that shit that y'all tried to put in my face for years. But with that being said, like, that was a great experience that, you know, and I think they're trying to redo that with Jay and Gunther. And I think this is like the poor man's version of it, right? Because like, they're trying to create something that happened naturally.
If you think about, if you continue to look back years, you had Kofi Mania. You could say that's similar to this. Then you had the Yes Movement, which was kind of similar to this, but that didn't feel to me as like they went really heavy handed this past Monday on Raw with him being the underdog. And if this was the go home show, got it. If it was 2 weeks before Mania, okay. We got like 8 more episodes of Raw. And I'm like, we can't be this heavy handed every single week about how Jay is just the super underdog. That was my only little disconnect with that. But I'm excited for that match. I really am.
I would say the only difference, because you did bring up a very valid point as far as where we were at with Cody this time last year. But my biggest thing is Cody was getting jumped by the Bloodline every time, every chance. So yeah, he was like the underdog the entire time. Jay lost clean, mind you, at a pay-per-view PLE or Saturday night's main event where we didn't even want him to even wrestle for a championship. So he lost clean. And it's not only one thing Jay saying, I think I can beat him. I'm going to beat him. But then when you have the other backstage, you think he's going to win. You got this guy actually think he's about to win. And then you got the commentary people appear going and it makes me feel like then, again, I'm trying to be that person to gravitate to Jay, because you already know how I feel about it. I don't want my heart broken. But when you constantly placing this doubt in my head, for me as a wrestling fan, I'm not taking that as, okay, well, yeah, you know what? They're just trying to do an underdog story. You're just pretty much telling me that I shouldn't even get invested into Jay. I just think there's this little slippery slope as far as making him too much of an underdog. That's just my opinion on that.
I think like we're coming at it from a smart fan perspective.
Could be.
You know what I'm saying? I think that what the story they're telling is a basic story, right? It's super basic that this storytelling, not telling anything revolutionary what they're doing with it. I think it'll work for the majority of the audience. It's just that this doesn't, like I said, it doesn't seem as natural as the Yes Movement or Kofi Mania, because those are something that organically happened out of nowhere. Like, more so Kofi Mania, right? That was completely organic. Like, right? Like, there was no... Vince McMahon was not booking Kofi to win the championship at WrestleMania, like, up prior to that, right? The Yes Movement was a reaction to Vince, like, stamping out, like, Daniel Bryan, like, probably 6 months, 8 months before that. Like, that movement really began, really, 8 months before it finally came to fruition. But I think this one, they're manufacturing the story. And I think it'll end up working because, like I said, Jay is so super hot right now. He's so super over with the crowd. And he's so likable. Okay, he's not the average, you know, babyface champion, right? He, like, the way he speaks, right? He's, when he cuts the promo, he doesn't sound like he's cutting the promo. He sounds like he's some dude out there with a microphone just talking. Like, right? And I think there's something that every man feel
hell
for that.
Yeah.
Right?
Hell
and
yeah,
then
man.
You got, and then it's actually Gunther is the perfect foil, right? He plays the elitist. He's probably like one of the best, like, foreign snob characters we've seen in a long time, right? And he's not really playing the conventional foreign snob, but, you know, he has the accent, you know what I'm saying? His nose is big, you know what I'm saying? He plays the part really, really well. So I know this week might have been the start of it, but I will probably imagine that they're going to take us on some ebbs and flows throughout this whole thing. But right before, let's back up a little bit, because I really want to get Rhodesia's opinion on Charlotte Flair.
Say, was it on SmackDown? Because we've been down that road. No, I'm joking.
I thought you watched it, right? You watched it, right?
Sure.
Okay.
Remember, I watched that amazing 3-hour show that was just so full of edge of the seat content that I was just so excited to watch.
But you damn sure didn't watch SmackDown then. That wasn't SmackDown.
Well, let me ask y'all a question, because, like, I'm not going to go into a whole thing. I'm just watching it with y'all, talking to friends about it. Charlotte comes out, and goddamn, y'all, she is a super heel. I just don't like her character. I don't know the woman, right? I don't know Ashley, whatever her name is. Charlotte Flair, the character. Yeah, I just don't like her. Like, you know, she comes out to me. She just seems like she's too good for the TV. She's too good for the entire show. She is an amazing heel. I a lot of times I like heels because I think they're cool, they're funny, whatever the case may be. There's nothing I really like about her. She comes out at the end of this show, I guess, to make her announcement. She coming out there, and she don't even bother to look at Nia, right? She can't even look at nobody. She's just straight to the ring, right? She's walking out there. Nia and Candice is kind of walking away, whatever, and they're kind of emotional over to it. Charlotte, I can't even, like, y'all beneath me to look at y'all. She walks right into the ring. You know, Tiffany got laid out.
So real quick, so that part was interesting to me because Nia just got done wrecking shop, DQ finish. Charlotte's music hits, and they don't even exit stage left. They just stay at stage left.
They just stood there and watched her come out.
And I was kind of like, oh, that's a
little bit of... Yeah, and then Charlotte comes out, and she doesn't even acknowledge them. She doesn't look at them.
Yeah, because right, like, you could just tell the story's not with them, right? Like, even the way Nia reacted was, you could just tell, like, I don't know if they were just told, like, hey, hands off, don't even look at each other, because that's, we don't want anybody thinking that's going to be a story. But I didn't like that. I would have rather Nia just completely walked away in Candace, opposed to hearing the music and then standing over to the side and waiting for Charlotte to stroll.
Because Charlotte looked like she looked like she's too good for Nia. Right, so she just walks on out there, right, and she gets into the ring with DJ. I know you watch. She gets into the ring. She grabs a chair because Tiffy's still laid out. She got her ass whacked. She was laid out for a long ass time, man. She was selling her ass off. She sits down, and then her voice is just so goddamn grating. It was just so grating. I'm like Tiffy. I'm like, I can't even do it. It's like, it was just so great. I'm like, Tiffy, answer her, please. Just answer her so she can shut up, right? But like, so she is just full-fledged heel, and I don't know what else she would be but a full-fledged heel. To be honest with you, she is such a good heel. I don't want to see her get beat up. I don't want to see her win or lose. I don't want to see her. She's so great to me.
So what's the difference then in what you just went on this 2 minute talking about Charlotte and then the 2 minutes you talked about Gunther? I mean, it sounds like the same character. Is it because she hasn't evolved? Is it because it is the same old Charlotte? I mean, what is the major difference to you? Because you said you only want to see her, that makes you feel that way about her, but being there for Gunther.
I'm entertained by Gunther.
Oh, so you're not even entertained by Charlotte?
I'm not entertained. I find her character to be very, very grating. I find it to be very grating.
For me, put the belt on her and make her a monster heel.
Oh, God.
But which,
that's what I would title? Because she's already got the heat.
The main title?
She's already got the heat. Beat Tiffany at WrestleMania.
Okay.
Get the internet fans and just irritated and upset and let her run with it. Because if you don't do that, what else is it to do? So if E's point is she is fucking super heat heel 101, what do you do with a super heel?
You heat him up even more.
Keep putting the fire on him. You keep putting another log on that fire.
Hey, you know what? Like, man, that Roku remote be in my hand, fast forward through that segment. Every point she's on, bro. It's like I said, it's not like, you know, I told you before, for me as a fan, mm-hmm. I'm just telling you how I feel. I'm not saying what it is or anything like that. I'm talking about for me. Triple H is the same way. I did not like the Triple H heel. Like, I felt like he was a grating character. I felt like I knew what it was every time he stepped into the ring with whoever he stepped in the ring with. He was better than each and everybody. He got over on each and everybody. Like, right, he was always a smarter person in every promo. Like, right, he did, no one ever got over on him in a promo, in a ring, or any segment. I knew what it was. I knew it was, that was the Triple H segment. And it was designed to get him over in every segment he was in. So I was uninterested in it. And I feel like that's what we get with this one. Now, Tiffy is very, like, she's actually another conversation. And I want y'all to continue talking about Charlotte. But, like, it's, like, she has a very, she seems like she has a heel character. But I can easily see her really be kind of flipping that into, like, this empowerment-type Barbie character. But.
Well, Matt said that on Friday. He made a comment about her being a heel. I was like, well, she's not the heel right now. Mm-hmm. He's like, yeah. He's not like, right, but, you now. Know, like, people would take her confidence as arrogance. I'm like, but mm-hmm. not right now.
Not right,
like,
now.
She's doing nothing right now to be shown as a heel. And then she marked out for Trish backstage for them tagging at Elimination Chamber. Trish came back as a babyface. So she's a full-fledged face right now, which I think is absolutely the right call for the most part. You know, you can get away with, and we probably need to have a conversation really, really soon about Jacob. And is it smart money to make him the heel against Solo? Maybe we wait another week to see how TV is.
Yeah.
You know, for their Mania build. But it may be time to have that conversation also of should Jacob be a babyface or a heel. But you can do that a couple times. But I think with Tiffany, you would definitely be swimming upstream if you made her right now a heel. And you got, you know, the heel Charlotte. So I think it's entertaining. I do. I enjoy the – we knew it. You know, and kind of they even kind of alluded to it a little bit. I think, if I'm not mistaken – I think the announcer said something to the effect of it was the match everybody wanted or the match, something like that. Match everybody knew what we were getting or match everybody was looking forward to or something like that. And they're right. I think the match is going to be fantastic. It'd be interesting to see just how they continue to give Timothy sympathy though. But her and Nia had a hell of a match. Once again, man, Nia's out there busting her ass. And yes, she's in there with people who can go to, but that match was awesome. It felt like we talked about it maybe last week, but it does feel like there's been a concerted effort with the women's division since the Royal Rumble to give the women time and let them go out there and work, because we could probably argue that every match that's been on TV since the Royal Rumble has been at minimum good to great.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's what we've been asking for. So I'm happy about that.
I want to ask this question here, even though I feel like it's the completely opposite of what you just asked. And here on the TFW pod, most of us keep it real. I popped myself. So do we feel at this point, and this may not be fair for me to even ask at this moment, but do you think that Tiffy is strong enough to be going into WrestleMania as champion? Has she have enough layers to her character to be able to be worthy, and I use that in quotation ears, to be the champion going into Mania?
I would have to answer that with another question, so I'll let you go first.
Okay.
When you look on that SmackDown roster, you think about who's over and who's not. She's definitely one of the most over acts on that show. I feel like in a lot of ways they kind of I think there's like a hold button we have on the Riverside. Like there's a hold button. I feel like they've been holding her a little bit. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like they've unlocked her. And I think maybe because at a certain point maybe they want to go a different direction as far as if she's heel or she a face, whatever the case may be. I feel like when they actually decide to go in a direction with her, I feel like the sky's the limit. And I feel like the crowd's behind her. And I think that's the biggest thing. Like, when you got the crowd behind somebody, like, why not push them, put the rocket on them, let them figure it out why it's there. I feel like this would be a good match. It's fresh. And I think that if Tiffy can tap into, like, just her unique personality, she'll be just fine. But it's going to be an upstream battle with that dominant heel they got in Charlotte.
So my answer would be a question to you in saying we're basing that off of what? Because we're basing that off of the title holders right now. Outside of Bianca and Naomi or Jade,
mm-hmm.
Everybody else is newly crowned champions. Lyra Valkyria, Chelsea Green. So that's the champions right now.
Well, I'll answer that, but I'm looking at more of like the heavyweight championship. So you look at the top two on each side, you have Cody and Gunther. So I'm just looking at, I'm going to come on here and say that I want a women's championship to be ending night one. It's probably not going to end night two of WrestleMania, but my thing is she worthy enough? And again, I hate to word it that way, but is there enough stock and value in her to validate her having a main event or being co-main event,
like
on
legit
the night.
Being night one main event?
Yes.
No, not yet. And that's not really of not her stock being up. It's more of the time and the reps on SmackDown. Remember, there was months that went by, but she really last pod we did of 2024, we talked about breakout stars, and I used Tiffany Stratton, and he kind of pushed back and was like, she's got the money in the bank. Like, she's not really. But I said, but I'm talking about her main eventing pay-per-views or PLEs in 2025, which she was far from doing that in 2024. And that was strictly because they just weren't using her in that role. Like, if, say, when she could, they called her up, and it was kind of like, the reins are off.
The last elimination chamber.
Yeah, and we're going to push her where we know she could be. You would know the answer would be absolutely yes. But you're feeling that because you're kind of just like, well, she won the belt, and she hasn't really done much on the shows. And I really want them to be like, man, a main event at WrestleMania, but we haven't seen enough of her. Because we're major, major, major Tiffany fans. And remember, we watched her entire career in NXT. So if you look at people who are the main roster, yeah, they know it's Tiffy time. They get off on that. But that big scope of work where that person who, when they do the 24 documentary and they talk about, man, I've been waiting years and decades to get this moment at WrestleMania to be put in the spotlight. No, she's not at that moment yet.
No, yeah, man, you got to stop up, man. You can't take a future world champion and say they're like the rising star. They are a star. And so the only thing she's lacking, and with the whole women's division is lacking, is a strong story, like a super strong story. They've tried to get some super strong stories, right? We had Becky and Trish. Like, they tried their damnedest to tell a deep story to get a babyface and a big-time heel, right? And for whatever reason, it didn't work, right? Then we tried to get one with Liv and Rhea. Try really hard. For some reason, it didn't take. I think for Tiffy or any woman for next Mania, I feel like we need to get finish her story, right? Like, something that's, like, you know, that people have been clamoring for from a storyline and a character investment for like a number of months, and it finally culminates at WrestleMania, and that will be a big story. I don't think it's going to be just them putting two big stars together and saying, okay, this is a Mania match. Like, now this is something at stake, right? Like, you kind of had, like, it was a big moment when Sasha and Bianca did it, right? Because there was some stuff in stake, right? Especially from us as a community. But I think next year, they've really got to hammer down on creating awesome stories for these women to really flourish in. And I know that Matt wants to talk about a couple women. I feel like they're not over with the audience. But I think a lot of that comes back to just storytelling. And when they come, and I think next year, that has to be the emphasis. And I say it's already this year. But you always think about, like, WrestleMania.
I know what you mean. WrestleMania being the end of 2024.
It's usually the end of their season, right? That's why I talk about, like, the end game. We know this is the end of their season, and we're going to get a reboot potentially soon. When that reboot happens, man, they got to – like, I hope they're right now on the drawing board. They have women, and they have, like, boom, this is our story of next season. And it's starring whatever woman, like, right? And I hope that they ride that right to WrestleMania so we can get that night one, night two WrestleMania main event.
Yeah, I think if I had to argue that point, which I'm not, because I just said a couple weeks ago I want the women to get proper stories. But if I had to argue it, I would say Tiffany did have one. And that was when her feud with Nia. Like, when she cashed in, it was more of... Typically, you're always going to get the cash in pop because people are live are like, hell yeah, we get to see a cash in. But that was something that was weeks and weeks in the making because Nia was treating her like shit. I think that was a good story. Liv and Rhea was a fantastic story. It just went on too long. If they would have cut that by about 4 months, we would look at it differently than what we did. And I just think Trish and Becky really never clicked.
No.
Like, when you were talking, I was trying to think at any point I would have cut that feud, maybe after the first match.
Yeah.
And even the first match wasn't that great.
But I mean, like, you think about a great story I'm talking about, like, the finisher story. Like, that story, that undercurrent story that people are aware of that you know, that takes a couple months to really get going and to finish. Like, right? We haven't had, like, we talk about, like, the mega powers, right, back in the day. Like, right? That was a whole year thing. Like, what's the biggest women's, like, story that you could think of that lasts for a really long time that ended in a big way on a big stage?
If I had to pick one, and Radija, of course, go if you have one. If I had to pick one.
I would probably say Rhea and was it Rhea and Charlotte at 39, if I'm correct on that one. I really enjoyed that. I kind of wanted to see that again this year, considering we know that Charlotte is in the main event picture. When I say main event, I mean of the championship matches. I maybe wanted to see that because I wanted that payoff with Nia and Tiffy. I mean, we got Tiffy side of it, but now Nia got to get her get back. And I would have been there for a Nia and Tiffy main WrestleMania match. I would have, just because I think that that'd be just, I was invested throughout last year in that story. But now we have Charlotte. I mean, I would rather than at this point have Charlotte go against Rhea again. And then now we have now Rhea, a grown ass woman, going against Charlotte and putting her out, taking her out in the pasture and taking her out. If I knew that this was where we were going, I would have preferred that, I think.
I was going to
Real quick, Matt, you know, mm-hmm. you know that Rhea and Tiffy was missing was making Tiffy sympathetic because they still had her kind of playing up being a cocky heel while she's taking abuse from Nia. It was a really strange dynamic. It was like a bully bullying a bully. Like, right, if they had took a different approach and slowly Tiffy started turning babyface and becoming more sympathetic and becoming more of a protagonist, I think it would have been a better for that overall story. To me, it felt like it kind of just ended, or it kind of turned like abruptly. I feel like they had a lot more mileage. They had kind of built that Tiffy character into a baby face coming out of that feud.
I wonder if that's because they didn't know about Charlotte's availability yet.
Yeah.
Because you're right.
It feels abrupt.
Because, yeah, typically you would get the complete baby face kind of turn before the cash in. And this one, it kind of wasn't that case. The one I was going to go with, women's feud, it would have been Bianca and Becky. When Becky beat Bianca at that SummerSlam,
whatever it was,
26 yeah. seconds or 28 seconds. Mm-hmm. But the reason why I would probably not say that one is because I still think that did Bianca more harm than it did good. Even after she won the title back, that really stunted her growth.
It took her a while to kind of rebound from that.
Yeah, I can't really go with that one. But last thing on this one, E, and then y'all bring up the Meechan thing that she talked about. So, but you brought up the finish your story. You wouldn't felt that same way if Cody would have won that at 39. It was that extra year that really was like, this is the finish the story piece. I think if he got that at 39, we could be talking about that the same way we talk about what we're talking about right now. Like, yeah, it was great. Yeah, Cody deserved it. Yeah, he's the new guy. But man, imagine if I think that's kind of hard to do because you being the big Cody fan that you are, us following Cody since he was, hell, dashing Cody Rhodes back in the day, IC champion and Stardust, and then watching him in NWA and AEW and all that and ROH, we have that backstory. We know, like, damn, this guy has been busting his ass for fucking 15 years after leaving the company to now main event the biggest show ever that WWE has to win a championship. So for us, it even hits different because we have that. They just don't have anybody like that on the women's side that you can point to or pick to and talk about, I remember when they blah, blah, blah. Like, even the way NXT has now is really all about the future, there was a ton of indie people in NXT Black and Gold, right?
So they had
your Adam Coles, Johnny Garganos, Tommaso Ciampa's. And then you had your Bianca Belairs, your Sasha Banks. So even us as the hardcore, before NXT was really massive in terms of a viewing audience, we could be like, man, I remember when it was Bianca and Bayley 2 out of 3 falls at that takeover, when now they're, you know, at SummerSlam or wrestling at WrestleMania. I just think from a time perspective, it's hard to gravitate to a story that is only going to be built on TV from like now or from last year till whenever we're looking at them to be able to say you can main event night one or night two of WrestleMania. I thought that was going to be Bianca and Jade, but I was talking years from now. I wasn't talking just 1 year. I'm talking they still have a chance to really build them as like best of friends. And I don't even know if when they do finally wrestle each other, Bianca and Jade, if I even want a heel babyface dynamic. That's where the money's probably is. But there may be a better story in terms of race, in terms of them just being women of they, it may be a better story to be like, this is babyface versus babyface for the top prize in the game, and we just want to see who's the best. This is the ultimate competition at its finest. There could be a story there. Of course, there could be a story. One of them just hurting the other one and turning on the other one, and now it's heel versus face for the championship. But I think there's a lot they can play with there. But that's going to take a while to get to.
But you know what, guys, though? Like, Michael Cole said in some interview, I didn't see the actual clip. I don't know if you really said it. I saw it on...
it's made up?
Yeah, I don't, it might be made up. I don't know. It might be booty.
Cole,
I don't
make
know.
Up some stuff, I think.
Right? But he said that WWE is not a pro wrestling company. They are a sports... They're a story company. That's why Netflix wanted them, because they are not just a pro wrestling company. They are a storytelling company. And that's the great thing about storytelling. And, like, you got a whole year and all... You got... You know, you got these 8-hour SmackDowns and 6-hour Raws. Like, they can create their own narrative. They don't have to have, like, a reality-based. They can create their own reality, and people are going to believe it, right? If they wanted to say that Roxanne has struggled all of her life, she was poor, came from nothing, right? Was going to be called a loser, that you can never make it in this business, and you're too small, and you're not good enough, and you can't talk. They can tell that story and manufacture a whole story that's sympathetic exclusively to Roxanne, create a bully or an antagonist that goes against her. It could be Nia Jax, right? You think about the height difference and the weight difference, et cetera, right? And she's been low-key bullying her for years. Maybe they've been on different brands or something like that, right? And every time they cross paths at a PLE or something like that, like, now I got something to say, whatever the case may be. Now Nia Jax is the champion. Roxanne is the champion. I mean, is the challenger going to a Mania or to a big main event. And they've been telling this story of this underdog Roxanne challenging the Goliath. Like, that's the great thing about storytelling and creative. You can create your own story. It doesn't have to be something that's real and, you know, reality driven like Cody's story was. They can create their own narrative. They have that's to just put their mind to it and say, this is what they're going to do. And that's what I hope they do starting after WrestleMania.
Yeah, that's a good
call. They've always been, I mean, since 2000, they've always been a storytelling company. It was just how they told stories. I mean, we shitted on Vince for when we called it sports entertainment. I mean, it's the same thing. It's, again, it's just how creative is at this point under on Triple H. But they've always been like that since 2000, since after Attitude Era. It's always been about sports entertainment.
You brought up Roxanne. That was the other thing I wasn't a fan of. I did not like the way she was presented on Raw.
Whoa, really?
Mm-hmm. Actually, I hated it.
Do tell.
So you have that beautiful video package. For one, Iron, you know, whatever you want to call it, she's in the Royal Rumble, the longest in the history of women. Okay, that matters.
Oh, that's all
right. And she busted her ass in that match. It wasn't like she did it by hiding under the ring or hiding under the ropes or, you know what I mean? So that's that part of it. And then she's got this match with Raquel, and I get it. Raquel is supposed to be the beast. She's much bigger than Roxanne. You show this video package about Roxanne, where she talks about she's a prodigy. She's always been great. She beats everybody in front of her. But then when the match starts, it's kind of like she's a little bit of a chicken shit heel. Like, she's really playing up the size difference. And once again, I know Raquel is big, but that's a disconnect for me, because then that makes Roxanne look like a babyface. But then as soon as the match is over, she cuts a promo backstage, which wasn't on TV, and she's right back into the Roxanne that we see on NXT. Like, nobody could touch me. And so that was just a disconnect. And to me, it was blatantly obvious that was a disconnect, because we still don't know right now if that is her official call-up. She's not going to be in Elimination Chamber. So does that mean that, okay, she may still work Stand and deliver, but she's going to be on the main roster going forward? Like, so we're still kind of in limbo with that. But yeah, I was like, damn, that's a slight miss. And they just got to be careful with some of these misses, because some of these little small misses can eventually become really big misses in their creative. And then we are looking like, okay, they're starting to lose their way a little bit.
I would say I completely disagree with you. I absolutely had no problem with, and again, I wasn't privileged to this backstage video package that she had, the show that she's still a bad girl. But for what I saw, I was really happy. Yeah, I only had one takeaway. I was like, she better win. I mean, this is her, like, her first real debut match on the main roster. I need her to win. I don't know how she's going to win because she's going against Raquel. But I'm like, but she needs to win. And they executed that for me. And it was believable. So, yeah, maybe she was working babyface during the match. And then she goes backstage and is the complete opposite. I didn't see that part there. And again, that could be something where they're trying to figure it out, see what she can be. And I think by doing that opposite behind closed doors, that you have the liberty to kind of maybe to be different, to see which route that people are going to take you. But I had no problem at all how she was presented on Raw. And I was so happy that she actually won, because that would have been my biggest thing. If she lost, then I'd have been on here. I would have been like, let's see, you know, F you Triple H right now.
As soon as Bianca and Trinity said they were going to Raw, mm-hmm. when they were on SmackDown, I was like, oh, that's that's how we get that finish. And shout out to them. I popped big time for the Bring It On cheerleading outfits. I love that. Then I found somebody on X, I guess, had tweeted that, like, it was a while ago, like, concept for Bianca. So I don't know if he had already been working on that, like, months ago, or they found it and then got it done. But I wanted to say it was, like, September or October. And he actually, like, I don't know if he added them, but you could tell it was for Naomi and Bianca.
That's the cool thing about, like, I know Bianca, she uses fan art for inspiration for a lot of her gear. And that's really cool to see. You see us fans go out of our way to create stories or characters or outfits for these, you know, these wrestlers, and them to actually appreciate that and to use that exact, those designs. And a lot of times it's the exact design that they created. That's really, really cool. I'm starting to see more and more of that. So that's kudos to that guy. But yeah, I love to see it. Mm-hmm. But let's because I don't really have a whole lot to say about the Roxanne thing. I'm kind of wait and see. I just hope that, like, again, like, if you got the creative, you got the pencil. Like, what's her slot? Like, what's her storyline? If you got her on the board, where do you see her? Like, right, I feel like that's somebody you got to actually have a role for. Yes, that's somebody you just, you know, throw them in matches and in segments for the shit of it. You actually got to have a plan for her. Like, where are you going with this character? Where do you see it? And not just next week, but, like, where do you see this character in 6 months? Like, you're talking about this is a story company. Okay, cool. Then you got to have some long-term plan for these characters and where you see them and where are they going to be, you know, in a couple of feuds from now. So it'd be interesting to see where she's going to be at, I think, after WrestleMania. For me, after WrestleMania is almost just as
kind of what you're – that's kind of like your North Star right now? You kind of
I like to see what's – like, that's when they hit that reset button. That's when you start seeing new people, character stories. It's always exciting for me.
It came out, they talked about Starks and said that they originally wanted to bring him up to the main roster, but they felt like they wanted to get him on TV ASAP, get him in the ecosystem ASAP on TV, and they felt like WrestleMania plans were basically – already in motion. So if they brought him on the main roster, okay, he's not going to have a WrestleMania spot. Why do that? But that's also kind of what we talked about months ago. It may have been about Obafemi. It may have been about Obafemi. Or it may have been about Bron Breakker. It may have been that long ago. But I remember we talked about the call-up. And I said, you got to know, I think it was Oba. I said, you got to know what that initial feud is. And then you have to know what that next feud is. And then you have to know what that next feud is. Like, when you got people who can really change the game for you, you got to know, to your point, like, what's the next 3-4 feuds that this person is going to have? So that, when I talk about Rhodesia, the disconnect, that's the disconnect. You give me a video telling me about Roxanne being the prodigy, but then she's completely fighting underneath and screaming, let go of my arm, put me down, in a match against Raquel. Now, if Raquel was a legit shoot badass that everybody fears in that division, cool, maybe so. If she was a Rhea Ripley, cool, maybe so. She's not. So it's like, okay, well, I'm looking at this from a vast majority of people who don't watch NXT, right? Like, I'm sure we have some viewers and listeners who really haven't seen much of Roxanne. I would love to hear from you guys. What side are you on? You on Rhodesia's side?
I'm interested, though, Matt. Like, for me, like, when I always see Chicken Shit Heels, that's what they do, though. They always, they wrestle, like, like chickens, but they talk like they the man or the woman in this instance, mm-hmm. right? Like they don't talk like they've been running or they've been screaming at people or they're doing dirty, nefarious things. They talk like they was in the ring, like they the powerhouse handling business up in there. I feel like that's part of heel 101. Like, you know, you don't, like, you talk a game, but you can't walk that game. Like, I thought that's, for me, like I said, I didn't look at it that deeply as you okay. may have, but for me, that seemed like that was kind of par of the course for any of, like, Ric Flair, for instance. Like, to beat a man, got to beat the man, right? But he had, like, you know, so it was the four horsemen, but they had a manager, so really it was five of them, right? But, like, in all his matches, like, 1,000 of them came down in the ring, interfered on his behalf half the damn time. But Ric Flair will be talking like he ain't need no help. Like, he out there by himself doing this thing, and can't nobody touch him. He the man. But Ole, Arn, Telly, all of them come down there, man. Like, Smelly Anderson come out of nowhere, interfering in this match. But he talking like, oh, I'm the man, and you got to walk the miles, blah, 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 blah. Like, so for me, it just was par on the court. I guess I have to look at it a little more deeply, but I felt like that's what a heel does, and she's small. So, well, how else would she play the role, right? She's going to talk like she's bigger than she is. But hey, real quick though, I want to, like, Jade, who did it? Like, right? We got some. Like, it obviously we know it ain't Liv, and we know it ain't Raquel. I kind of feel like they would admit to it, right? I feel like they would admit to it, right? So it has to be somebody else.
Who I never thought it was them.
I was actually going to come on here and ask y'all, are y'all willing to change y'all stance on it? I'm still 10 toes down. I still don't understand what people mean by 10 toes down, but I say it all the time, and I always use it.
That means you're not budging. Your 10 toes is in the sand. You're not moving on this.
But my feet, my toes aren't curling into the ground, so it's just still flat.
If you really want to make sure you 10 toes down, you need to crawl them Jones up a little bit.
Okay. Well, anyways, I'm 10 toes down. I still think it's Jade. It has something to do with Jade. Excuse me? How we get there? Jade.
You think Jade did it herself?
Yes, I think when it's all said and done,
Jumped off and was just like, I'm tired of defending these titles, and she just jumped off.
I'm not booking that. I'm not saying how we get there.
That would be
all I'm saying.
What I just say about these cracks.
All I'm saying.
If that's the storyline,
that's all I'm saying.
I promise you, I'm ringside at AEW next show.
All I'm saying.
I don't care where that next show is.
All I'm saying.
Do me a favor, Lisa. Pull up where AEW is for the next like 30 days. Whenever that comes out, Nate and she comes on there and say, I did it to myself, I promise you I'll be ringside at AEW on the hard cam side with the I'm sorry Tony Khan sign.
All I'm saying is when it's all said and done, Jade is not going to be absolved of this situation. I think she has something to do with it. I said that from day one, and I'm going to say 10 toes down that she did it. I know E originally said, I think, Bianca. Matt, I don't remember who you said did it. But do y'all want to change y'all stance? I'm not. I'm 10 toes down.
I can't remember who I said. But I
can't remember what you said. But
I'll tell you, it was one of the two women on that screen that was involved when they
there you go.
It was one of them two for sure.
One of the two of them.
Guaranteed. I don't think it was Naomi. Two her of them. Response, her Shit. Response sounded really good. Okay, so I told you.
E, so who do you think it was? Who do you think it is? I'll take the other one just for shits and giggles.
I think it's Bianca. I think
okay,
it's
you Bianca. Got Bianca.
That's
but if it's Bianca, here's the thing though. I just feel like Jade is a much better heel than she is as a babyface. Like, right? Like, to me, like, her character is a better heel than it is a babyface. So I just don't know how she can accurately portray like the baby face role against Bianca. Now we've seen Bianca be a heel. We know that if she is truly destined to be a heel, like she's going to kill that role, right? But I just don't feel like Jay is the proper protagonist to go against her, regardless of the storyline. To me, I feel like that those roles should have been reversed in some type of way. What do y'all think?
So, with that being said, then, like I said, whatever you said, I was going to go the opposite just to have talking points on it. I'm going to go Naomi. Because what that then does is that frees up Bianca to work for the title if need be at WrestleMania. And that gives us Jade and Naomi at WrestleMania. And I'm only going off of what was presented on camera. Bianca looked to be a little too overzealous when they showed Liv and Raquel. And if you watched Naomi, as soon as they talked about, we have footage of who may have attacked. I think the first thing she did was that she immediately grabbed the title belt around her stomach. Of course, I was watching both of them like a hawk to see how they reacted. And then it was almost like relief for Naomi. So it was absolutely one of those two. Nothing else makes sense. Yeah, nothing else makes sense. And I would love to see what a heel Naomi would be.
Yeah.
Right now. We know what Bianca could be. And to me, she is... Bianca may be a better heel than she is a babyface. She is a hell of a babyface.
She was a hell of a heel, man. But hell look, yeah.
You're right about Jade, though. But we haven't seen...
Natural heel, right?
Yeah, but that's what was presented in AEW. Who knows... And I know what you mean. But who knows if we hadn't seen Jade be a babyface for those first 3 years in the business, maybe she would be a fantastic babyface.
Mm-hmm. Like we've seen her be a baby. She's been a babyface this entire run as tag team champion, and it was bad. It's fine. Right, I think it's been fine. I think she's at her best as a heel. And going to Naomi, like if you listen to her interviews, you see her TikTok videos and stuff with Bianca. The two of them have amazing chemistry. If you listen to the way she talks about her teammates, etc., like Naomi just a straight up babyface. I can't imagine her playing a heel. We've seen her play a heel with Team Bad.
Yeah,
but she admitted during that time period that she had a hard time playing that character because that wasn't true to who she was. Right. So that brings you back to Meechan. Like I saw like the article that you had. Matt, that she feels like she's not connecting with the audience.
Yeah, so it was a great segue. It was a interview she did on the Speakeasy podcast. She said she's admitted that she has trouble connecting with the crowd due to not being completely sure what her character is. And she said, in a quote, "That's a good question because I don't even know my character. I'm really bad with, I can wrestle my ass off, but I know that my biggest hindrance is I have a problem connecting with the crowd because I'm still trying to figure out what my character is. Because in NXT, I was a gangster, hood rat chick, right? In wrestling, you want to have, you just accelerated times 100. So they really wanted that character. And I guess I dove right into, whereas now I'm just a gamer. I just want to go home and just hang out with my dogs. I'm very low key and chill." So I said I wanted to bring that up on Twitter. I tweeted and I said that I'm seeing a lot of discourse about that, but people aren't listening to what she's saying. Somehow that article, that tweet went to, "Oh man, we love Meechan. Oh, I wish she knew how much the fans love her." Nowhere in there did it say anything about she doesn't feel the love from the fans or she's not appreciated. She said she doesn't know who she is in the wrestling ring. And we talked about that months and months and months ago. That is accurate. She does have trouble connecting to the fans. Has nothing to do with her talent. I know that's not the girl. Meechan is not what is being portrayed on TV. I can see that. We can see through that. If you've been watching this long enough, you can see that. Doesn't mean she sucks. Doesn't mean that she needs to figure her life out or she needs to be fired. Doesn't mean any of that. It just means the character that she is doing right now is not fully her, which means I can watch and I can see her struggling with that at times on television. So what she's saying is not some type of cry out for help or anything like that. She's accurate. She is having an issue with connecting because I think the people can see that, okay, that's not kind of you. She just needs to figure out, and WWE needs to figure out, how do you make who she really is be connecting on television? She, to me, was never the hood rat. When I saw her NXT, I thought it was kind of cringe. I'm like, man, this ain't Meechan. Like, I know this ain't Meechan. E, you brought it up numerous times. You watched her on stream. She plays video games. You're like, man, that's not her. No, you can't be the lovable dog person and gamer on television. You can't do that. But you do have to figure out how to be something on TV that is believable and you can't see through. So, like, that's my point. I would love to hear your guys' thoughts on it. But this was not all day I've been seeing different people talk about just, man, I wish she knew how much she was loved and what the fans think of her. You guys got to read a little bit more. It's context and everything. And that was the context of that.
I'll just go with where WWE made a mistake with her. One, putting her with the Good Brothers and AJ Styles. Two, when they made her Meechan, pulled it back, caught her back Mia Yim again, and then reintroduced her again as Meechan. That was in the second failure that they did. And I remember when that happened, that's when I even came on this pod and I said, I'm sorry, guys. She's not connecting with me. Like, I'm not believing what I'm seeing here on TV. And at first, I actually thought Meechan was pretty disrespectful, but she calls it herself. So I guess maybe she's okay with it. But to me, that word Meechan, I thought was actually kind of derogatory for her to use. But again, if you're saying on the internet and she's, you know, she's a gamer and that's her personality, she seems like an absolute goofball. Like any little bit that I've seen on her on Twitter, she's an absolute goofball. That's what we should see. And if she has that doubt that she went on a podcast to say that, sweetheart, we see it. We feel it. I mean, you look great. You transformed your body. You look amazing. You can go in the ring, but it's just a disconnect for me. And again, it's also then the third part too is who she's been able to feud with too. So we also, again, that's not, I'm relieving a lot of that pressure from her onto back to WWE. But when you first just threw her with the guys, then Mia Yim, then Meechan, back to Mia Yim, back to
Don't forget about Retribution.
Oh, well, don't yeah, no, I'm past that because that was, okay. I don't think that was under Vince. I'm just under H. So then now you're just now Meechan in your fullness with your kendo stick. And I guess they try to do something good with Chelsea. And I am actually, I'm digging it. This is probably the most interested I've been in Meechan right now. But again, there is truth in that. Should she have gone on a podcast and say that? I guess that's everybody's own discretion. I mean, some people want to be open and honest about it. But again, like you said, it's not her saying that people don't like her or don't love her or show her that. It's just that she's just not connecting. So a lot of my matches I watch of her, it's just like, oh, I know it's going to be a good match. But again, I know that there's not much investment there. But now it's getting better. I will say that. It is getting better. But again, she's been messing with Chelsea.
Yeah, I think that Rhodesia kind of hit it a little bit because I know Matt, you're saying that people don't love her, but it's like the internet fan is different than the actual regular audience fan. Like, right, there's a different passion that us internet hardcore fans have for wrestlers that is different for like the casual viewing audience. So I think she's talking about connecting with the casual audience. And if you listen to some of her reactions, I'm sure she wanted to be larger reactions, like, right? And I think that's what she means by connection. So when connecting her character to the casual audience and this audience in general, right? So she can get those baby face pops that I think any wrestler would want to get, right? And I think that goes into like her finding the character that can connect with the audience. Because, you know, as Rudy said, her character doesn't always connect with her. It's tough. I watch her streams, right? I like video games. It's something I listen to when I'm actually modding. I'm on my game. Sometimes I listen to her. I haven't listened to her recent stuff. Just got to figure it out. Right? She has to find a character that's true to herself and dial it up 1,000%, 2,000%. Mm-hmm. Like, right? Sometimes, like, I don't even have a point sometimes on the show, but I just whatever my point is, I say it louder just to add some personality to it.
At least you
right?
know,
I don't know where I'm going sometimes, right? But I feel like if I say it loud enough, it'll be interesting enough, right? So sometimes you just gotta take a little bit and add a lot to it, right? Because that's what people want to connect to. They want to connect to real emotion, mm-hmm. like right. And so she gotta find out whatever her character is. If she's a gamer, look, that's super popular. People can connect with that. Like, right. So find that voice she has on her streams, right? And just dial it up. I don't know who her character is right now at the moment. Like, that's the thing. Maybe that's what she's trying to say. I don't know who this version of Meechan is. Like, right? I don't know what her motivation is. But to be honest with you, she's not the only woman on that roster. This is what I talked about earlier in the show. There's a lot of character development that needs to happen for that women's division. There's too many women on that roster to where I don't know who they are. I don't know what they want. I don't know what the drives them. Like, right? So when they get in the ring, I don't know what I'm supposed to do besides say, oh, okay, this is a beautiful girl in skimpy clothes, I'm gonna cheer for you. Okay. Once I'm beyond the physical, what's going to continue to make me be invested in seeing you win or lose this match? Like, what about you makes me want to see you every single week besides you're just a cute girl? Because at the end of the day, Shawn Michaels is doing a hell of a job down in NXT with hiring really cute girls. Like, right? So after a while, I'm gonna be used to seeing really cute girls on my TV. What's going to separate one cute girl from the next? It's going to be character. I'm never used to
seeing cute girls on my TV. I know what you're trying to say, brother, but you keep bringing them, Sean. We appreciate you, brother. You're doing a lot of doing God's work.
I'm gonna stop looking. God damn it! I'm just saying when that bell ring.
But like, so when I saw it, the first thing when I saw the headline first, and I didn't get a chance to read it until I tweeted it just a few hours ago. But when I first saw it today, I thought it was common sense. like I did, because and like she knows that. Like, and I'm so proud of her because she went from being so unsure of herself on television where you could see it to if right now you just got to figure out what your character is, you can kind of figure that out, hopefully. But you brought up, like, take Dakota Kai. I kind of put Dakota Kai in that same type of circle in terms of who she kind of is outside of wrestling. If you ask me right now on TV, what is Dakota Kai's character? I don't know if she has one. I know she's popular, right? I know we all like her. I know she can go in the ring. She showed that again this past Monday. But, like, who is Dakota Kai? Outside of she's in Damage Control, I don't know what I would say. So maybe, like, Meechan could even get away with that. Like, you don't need to be the hood rat chick. Like, that doesn't work for you. We don't believe that. And I don't even think you want to be able to do that anymore. So maybe she can still be the kind of cool, funny, lovable girl, but when shit comes down to shit and, like, now it's me and you, I turned on that mean streak a little bit.
I think that they really, like, there's multiple women on that roster with that same issue, like, right? So I think that Tiffy is a prime example of someone who knows her character. She found her voice, right? Nia Jax is another person, like, who's found her voice. She knows who her character is. Like, I don't know who that is for Meechan, like, right? But she, you know, this is something they need to really invest in. They have a huge writing staff. They have, like, right, all these writers, right? Like, I just don't understand how they don't get people that's just designated to, okay, hey, I'm going to take these groups of people and we are going to create amazing characters that people can invest in. Like, I just don't see how that doesn't happen. Like, right? Like, hey, Meechan, me and you, we're going to sit together in a room for 35 minutes and we're going to throw some ideas on the wall. I want to know about you. What do you like? What do you dislike? Okay. What are your fears? What are your hopes? What are your dreams? What made you become a wrestler? What makes you keep wrestling? Is it just the money? Let's talk about you as an individual. Okay, cool. Let's dial that up. Like, right? What's your favorite character that you like? What's the character that resonates with you as a person? Okay, who's your favorite actors? Who's your favorite actress? Who's your favorite character? What resonates you with that person and why? Okay, cool. How can we tie that into who you are? Like, I mean, like, I don't know why this stuff is, like, hard, but this is something you need to really seriously sit and think with these women, because you look at the top men stars, you talk about Drew, Gunther, Jay, Cody, CM Punk. You got all these dudes. You know what they about. But you look on that women's side, outside Rhea, Charlotte's one, right? Like, yeah, I said Charlotte's that she's grading, but you know exactly what that woman's about. Like, right? Becky, you know exactly who she's about. Of course, these are big stars, too.
I was about to say that. So I was going to say, there could be a point of resources with this, because if we look at Angel, we just know he's in, you know, he's feuding with LWO. Like, I'm not really comparing Angel to Meechan, but right. Meechan is not that top level of the same people you just named off for the guys. Like, Alexa Bliss, she just came back. We know who she is. I mean, you know, we can go down the list. We don't go down the list, but we know who Bayley is. We know who Bianca is. Like, you know what I'm saying? But I do think there has to be a point where there's got to be resources in it of, hey, this is your character. This is who you are. This is what we want from you. Of course, you can tweak it how you see fit, but there's your lane. Kind of figure it out. But I think she will figure it out. I think she's talented enough. And if she doesn't figure it out, I think she's in a good enough space right now that she will be okay on TV. To your point, when that music hits, I'm sure she wants the roof to blow off the place. And it doesn't, mm-hmm. which is another reason why I'm like, well, yeah, we know that she's not really connecting as much as she could, because you can tell just by the reactions when she comes out, when her music hits.
Guess what, guys?
What's up?
We made it to 1 hour and 10 minutes.
I'm so mad right now.
Are we done? I'm
like, no, we're not done. Actually, I have a question to bring up.
What you got?
So we've been talking this whole episode as far as like their development. I brought up a couple of people like, are they really there yet? And kind of some doubt. Let's flip the script and talk about Hall of Fame. We know there's going to be some more names coming up. But I have a question, because this a particular person, I just say it, right? Because I'm going to be honest right now. Michelle McCool. I don't know how I feel about her going into the Hall of Fame. So I'll say that there first. But I have a very specific question to the two of y'all. And it's two parts to it. What would make a Hall of Famer a Hall of Famer? And what I mean by that is, like, what's one or two things that's a prerequisite that they have to have done this to make it on Hall of Fame? And then what's one or two things that it's not? So, for instance, I can say what it's not is your wrestling ability. Sounds kind of silly, but we talk about that all the time. Maybe of all the things of a wrestler, your technical wrestling skills may not be the best, and you can still be a great star. But in order to be Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame, what's one or two things that is a must and something very specific of what it's not?
I knew you were gonna answer that question, and I didn't have really an answer prepared, to be honest with you. However, this for me as a fan, you know, you mentioned Michelle McCool. To me, I think she hits the check marks to where I, based on how I think they grade and look for people to put in the Hall of Fame, like, hell, Coco Beware was in there, and I don't know if he ever won championship.
Birdman,
I don't know if Coco ever won a championship when he was in WWF that I remember.
Ready to do the Googles on that real quick. See if he won at least IC.
Okay.
Like, I don't know if he even won. And then in addition to that, like, right, I don't remember him being even a top guy, to be 100%
honest. He was never a top guy in WWE.
But he in there. So you talk about Michelle McCool, right, for that time period, in that diva time period, she was one of the most dominant women in that division, right? And she was regarded as one of the better workers at the time. Now, again, I'm not a big work rate guy, but her matches always seemed pretty fine. She was always really good on the microphone. I really enjoyed the Lay Cool period with Layla. And I don't think Layla gets enough props for her contribution to that act.
I got more ass than her. I got more body than her.
So, yeah.
I think about that. That was from the damn Diva Search. But you know what's funny, E? We missed that kind of whole time. That's when we kind of stopped watching wrestling.
That's when I fade out.
Yeah, like the whole Ruthless Aggression time period when Edge was Radar Superstar on top on SmackDown. Michelle McCool, like, I don't want to speak for her, but I think that's why everybody's just kind of like, I don't know about her. But I told her, haven't watched her.
That would make sense. You missed her heyday. And, like, she was actually one of the best during that time period, if not the best during that time period.
There you go.
Of not just being a diva, but actually being a really good wrestler during that time period. That's as you see why they keep bringing her back. Shots.
I did wonder, like, for me, now we can talk about it. I was kind of confused. I've been kind of confused because I'm like, she wasn't that fucking good that I remember. But I also knew I missed like a pretty significant spot in her JBL. When JBL was on top, I was like, oh, I'm good. I checked out.
Yeah.
And listen, was all around that same
Lay
time.
Cool, like for a female act, they actually got some pretty good TV time. You know, during that
Mean
time
Girls,
period.
Right?
They were the Mean Girls,
yeah,
right?
Okay.
They were the Mean Girls. They were the beautiful people. They were WWE's version of beautiful people, and they did a great job, right? Which makes me, we talk about another question that kind of relates to the Hall of Fame, but I want to hear Matt really quick. But yeah, to me, I think that, you know, just to answer the question real quick, and I'm going to slide it right over to Matt, I feel like it has to be contribution and impact from the time that they were there. I think definitely for the time that Michelle McCool was in the company on top in meaningful segments, she definitely would fit the criteria as, you know, dominant champion, really good run, good connection with the fans, and for a lengthy time period, because she was there that entire time period. I'm not sure when she actually left television. It might have been maybe when you guys started watching. I don't remember when you guys started watching again. She might have already started phased out by that time period. But she was for about a good 6 to maybe 8 years, she was doing her thing.
Damn. Wow. I hate answering questions with questions, but are we talking WWE's criteria or are we talking...
This is strictly WWE pro wrestling. Oh, shit. Just because we were talking about the Hall of Fame. There is no criteria.
Like, okay. There's not.
And after you go, I'm going to say what I have to say and where I think that this is going. But go ahead.
I said it 50 years from now, everybody's going to be in the WWE Hall of Fame.
There we go. That's kind of where
I'm getting at. It's just a matter of when you got in.
Yep.
Like, Coco Beware. We ain't going to shit on Coco Beware. Coco Beware was
the man. I got
that
information for you.
Okay. What you got?
So the only champ, well, he had a championship in a company I can't even, is in Boston. But NWA was probably the most recognizable one. And he was a Mid-American Heavyweight Champion.
So nothing in WWF, right?
Not that I can find.
But damn, he was man, always had a mid championship. Ain't that about right? A bitch?
He was always on TV with Frankie. We all did the bird dance, bird, bird, bird. Like, he's known. So I had no problem with him being in the Hall of Fame. But you got Coco Beware in the Hall of Fame. And that's no slight on Coco. We can go with, I mean, Hillbilly Jim was the man too. You know, because WWE switched their Hall of Fame from being like what that person kind of did in WWE to then it switched to like what they've done in all of wrestling.
Right. Yep.
Right. Like we've seen some of the video packages and like 2/3 of the video packages about what they did outside of WWF. Hell, there's some people.
Great Buddha guy is in there, right? He's never wrestled for WWE.
Right? And I love and I love that though, right? Because it makes it seem like it's an legit list, wrestling yeah. Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. But no, there's some years that you look at the Hall of Fame class and you're like, if this wasn't a show and y'all didn't sell tickets, we probably could have skipped this year. If we had to skip a year in terms of Hall of Famers. So, like, but say if I was doing a Hall of Fame, and that would even be hard because it's so messy. Wrestling is so damn subjective.
Right.
Right. Like, and that's why we love it, I think, as much as we do. Because, as you would say, Radija, you could be 10 toes down on somebody or something.
Curled in.
I could be completely the opposite. E could be completely different. And we all could be right to a certain extent because it's all subjective. But for me, part of that would have to be how many moments did you create? That's a big part for me. How many moments did you create? Can you talk? And if you can't talk, did you have a significant mouthpiece with you as an act? And then how many matches do you have that you can say, you gotta watch this? If you don't have any of those, you probably can't be. I'm not even talking from a 5-star perspective. It could have been an opening card match. It could have been a spot. Perfect example. Right now, you could put in Tyler Breeze and Fandango in the Hall of Fame. Strictly from Tyler Breeze's spot of rolling away from the Usos when they were trying to do the splash in that one match on pay-per-view. That's a moment. That is a moment that you're like, hey, I remember that. That's hilarious. And he was dressed up as a woman, too, I think. But he dressed up as like
part.
A...
I don't remember
a,
that part.
Yeah, I think he's just up as like a maid or something.
Dumb cats ain't never making that Hall of Fame.
But you know what I'm saying? Like,
but what is it not then? Because so you kind of hit on what it is, but what is it not?
It is not 5-star classic matches. It's not just because you can wrestle a good match. To me, it is not that.
Well, if that was the case, Brad Armstrong would have been in there years ago.
Right? So I agree with that.
I don't know necessarily. I mean, I was trying to get something different than what y'all said as far as what it's not. I don't really know if I have a what it's not, but to me, what it is and how I'm going to quantify it, and this may be completely off-base thinking, but for me, it is purely off of name recognition. Yeah, that's how I quantify impact. So if someone who is a wrestler today, you know, in the age of technology and stuff like that, will someone maybe one or two genres over know what that name is? That name recognizable? And to me, I feel when that name is recognizable, that means they have done some things. They have carried some weight somewhere along the way. That's how I'm going to quantify that as what's one of the things that will make them a Hall of Famer. Again, John Cena, to me, I don't think he can really wrestle. I don't know if he ever really tried to be a technician wrestler, but he never could wrestle. But if people
you just
know
say John Cena can't wrestle?
I mean, he has 5 moves.
You and E been talking to each other like...
No, but you know I love John Cena.
Right now?
No, you know I love John Cena. I've never hated on his 5 moves of doom. I think that's what they call it, what the people called it, what the hater guys did. But
hey, but I will clean that up though, Rhodesia. As much as I'm not a, I respect John Cena. I actually think he's a damn good wrestler.
Yeah, go ahead. Cena can really wrestle. Like I don't, well, I don't know where that comes
from. You know what? You know what? You know he's not a good. He's not a good wrestler. He's a good worker.
And when we talked about your top stars, because we talked about this some pods ago, a few months ago, your Hulk Hogan,
Hogan was a hard worker.
But they're known of, they're known of, but they're known of having only just your 3 to 5 special moves.
Yeah, because you know, like a hardcore fan would say they're bad wrestlers, right? Because like a lot of hardcore fans, we don't talk about if someone can work versus if they actually can wrestle, right? So we say John Cena's a bad wrestler, right? But he actually worked, right? Hogan. Like, if you, like, for me, he's a bad wrestler, right? But he was a damn good worker, right? But go ahead, I know what you're saying.
So then do you think Randy Orton is a bad wrestler?
Yeah, because again, he has 3-5 moves. But again, that goes back to just my style of wrestling. Remember, you already know I like the flipping and gripping and all those type of acrobatic stuff.
What are we doing?
I think Orton's a good wrestler and worker.
What you like in the bedroom, flipping and gripping? God bless.
Oh, okay, let's go. We're about to wrap now.
Real quick. We got to go down this rabbit hole now. Yeah. We got to go down this rabbit hole.
But I think all of the big time people.
Who on the main roster right now, who are some of the bad wrestlers that get like significant TV time to you? Bad wrestlers.
I think you are misinterpreting what I'm saying.
Is Drew McIntyre a bad wrestler? He only does a handful of moves.
No, I don't think he's a bad wrestler. I think you're missing the point that I'm trying to make here.
You definitely got CM Punk as a bad wrestler.
No, why would I say that? CM Punk does a lot of moves in the ring.
CM Punk is getting his ass kicked for the majority of his matches.
But no, I'm talking about just purely... I'm talking purely off of. I'm actually not about to digress off of what I was getting to my point as far as
Roman Reigns is a bad wrestler. The Rock's
Told you I can't stand Roman Reigns matches. I've always been real about that. But again, it's
so
back
it's not
to
Will
them.
Ospreay. Who do you think are good wrestlers? I just know. I really want to know.
KO.
So you think KO's a good wrestler? All right.
KO's
okay.
A good wrestler.
And Sammy's a great wrestler too, right?
Sammy's a great wrestler.
How about
Nakamura?
Nakamura
used to be. Yeah.
He's so washed.
His name is not Wash. His name is Nakamura.
And you can tell. Really are feeding for TV time for these 3 hours. They gave my man like an entrance and a half. They let him go so long, his fucking music started over. I was like, all right.
Nakamura, you know who's Wash?
Who?
Okada.
Do you think he's washed?
Keep going.
Or do you think he just had... Okay, so... Ooh, all right.
So, but again, back to Okada. Like, well, again, I can't speak too much because I've only watched a couple of years of New Japan. All I'm saying, we talked about this, and I'm not going down this rabbit hole. Your big superstars, they only had a handful of moves. And that's what made everybody love them. And because you,
but being a good wrestler never had to do with the amount of moves you did in the ring.
I'm saying that word loosely. I don't think anybody who's signed to any contract with AEW or WWE right now is a bad wrestler.
There's some bad wrestlers there.
They're the professionals. I absolutely will say that Goldberg. The people that signed, he's not signed right now.
We might be. You might be seeing his ass sooner or later.
Maybe. point is,
I told you he's the one that cost Gunther the match.
Oh my God! Point is,
that's the only way to get Goldberg.
I want to hear.
Only way to get it done. Book it, Paul.
Oh no!
Have Goldberg come in, cost Gunther the match. Hell yeah! And then got Goldberg yeeting. With Jay. I like it. Yeeting from LA to Atlanta to Las Vegas.
I'm over it. I'm done.
Very good.
But I do want to say this real quick though. Hall of Fame. I gotta see Demolition be inducted this year. I think we're gonna see them inducted.
Hell yeah.
They got the Legends deal.
Hell yeah. But shout out to that, man.
When we talked about the Lay Cool being a Beautiful People's knockoff. Mm-hmm. I think that Lay Cool really created their own thing. I think Demolition also created their own thing too. Because like, back in the day when we talked about it before, Matt, I think you said you saw them at first as a Road Warriors knockoff. When I saw them, I didn't even think that. So I think they did a great job with what they're doing, and they definitely need to be in the Hall of Fame. So
no, I saw them first. I knew about the Road Warriors, I think, because I think I played... Remember on Nintendo? What was it?
WCW game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe even if I didn't see Demolition first, I was absolutely a bigger Demolition fan than I was Legion of Doom.
No, like, I definitely saw Road Warriors first. But to me, like, the only thing that was the same to me is that they both had paint.
And like, spikes, in the spikes.
I mean, but is that exclusive to, like, you know, the Road Warriors? Right? Like, I think if I saw another dude wearing yellow, I wouldn't think he was a Hulk Hogan clone.
Yeah.
Like, that was my mindset as a kid. Like, right? That was...
But I'm so happy that they have now signed a Legends deal. Once again, Triple H is doing some great stuff with getting people who have not been a fan of Vince and or WWE, WWF. You know, he did, you know, got Bruno back in the fold. He's done a few. And Demolition was definitely kind of in that mold, too, at one point. So, shout out to him for kind of getting Legends to get their proper recognition. But, yes, Demolition in the Hall of Fame for sure.
Who are my guys imitating? Is it Demolition or Road Warriors?
Who?
The Ascension.
They were Legion of Doom.
Okay.
But were they originally? I don't think they were originally trying to not be knockoffs of the Road Warrior. I think Vince saw them as Road Warrior type, which is part of what probably killed the gimmick. I don't think he started off that way.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah. But Victor was the man, but we ain't going to go down that path. But what I do, okay, before we leave, I am, y'all going to have to talk me off the ledge right now because I'm about to get hype right now. I probably can't be this year because H is going in. And I feel like now with Dirty Vince being Dirty Vince, there should be no reason why China is not in the Hall of Fame.
Good luck.
There is no reason why we cannot have one of the baddest women, one of the first, at least in modern wrestling, to me at least, that transcended what it was to be a woman wrestler to a wrestler. She was beating up dudes. Like, to me, like, what she did, and I remember coming up before I thought Lita was my favorite wrestler, I loved wrestling because The Rock was fine and gorgeous, and I saw this big, bad motherfucker in China. And I'm liking, you know, me being this feminist thing, I'm like, yes, us women can be big and powerful too. There should be no reason why China is not put in this Hall of Fame. If you're talking about Triple H is doing, trying to right some wrongs, getting Bruno Sammartino, Demolition, all these people back, he needs to, and he needs to do it. Just out of the fact that was his love.
Well, she's technically in the Hall of Fame. She got inducted with DX.
That's not the same. China is China. She needs to be able to get inducted, and she needs to, whomever's going to represent for her needs to be able to represent her name.
You know, it's a shame. You know, we can, you know, wrap up. I think about all these wrestlers who probably should be in their 50s or 60s by now that all passed away. We can't see them speak and, you know, share their story, and we can't show them appreciation for their careers because they all passed away so quickly, man. Like, I just always hope and wish that, you know, if the drug culture was nipped in the bud like 20 or 30 years ago, and maybe something with the schedule that kind of helped these wrestlers recover better or whatever the case may be. Guys, feel like we lost so many people so soon. You know, so you talk about China, you know, she can't even be here to accept the award, and she wouldn't even be that old right now, right? She would probably be in her mid-50s or something by now. You know, it's just a damn shame. That's why I'm glad to see that the industry has kind of cleaned up to where now, as you got, we joked earlier about like everybody be in the Hall of Fame at some point, at least 20 years from now, we're going to live to see John Cena, The Rock.
John Cena's first ballot. He's first ballot.
Like, right, we're going to be able to see them at the Hall of Fame so we can give appreciation and we can hear them tell their story.
Yep.
So that's the one good thing about today's wrestling culture.
And you know, and it's funny you say that too, man, because, and that's outside of just that, like, wrestling hurts. To hell with the travel, right? So take out that you bump for a living, you fall down for a living. Take that out. Think about, they were still working whatever job you have, 300 plus nights, and that includes travel, planes, trains, automobiles, right? Late nights. So even if your job was not to bump for a living on a hard ass mat, because the mats was completely different back then than what they are now, and even now it ain't the softest thing in the world. You know what I'm saying? So take that part out. And that's why I always talk about just showing appreciation to your pointy with what They do. Every single, you know, I don't give a damn if they working once a week or once a month. You still got to put the time in. You still got to put the time in. We skipped talking about NXT because we're going to be on the Sports For You Wrestling podcast. I know that we were recording this on Tuesday night. We're recording their pod on Wednesday night. So we will be talking about that on their pod, I am sure. So we skipped our NXT thoughts because we'll talk about it on their podcast. Next week, I'll tweet out the links, and then I'll bring up the pod on next week's show so you guys have that. But next week, we should have Backstage Brawl on. And actually, I'm talking about it right now live. We may need to move that a week because if we move that a week, we should have results from Elimination Chamber. My math is right because Elimination Chamber is next Saturday. So we'll talk. I'll hit them up and see when they want to come on. But should be a good show there. And then we are on literally the road to WrestleMania after Elimination Chamber. So everybody just relax. Calm down. World is not falling. And E, I am going to do something I have not done in 4 months. Coming up in a couple weeks.
You just did The Rock, just so you know.
I did. I had to count real quick. I had to see. I am watching an AEW show in its totality. I am going to watch Revolution in March.
Wait, the pay-per-view?
Yep.
Oh, good luck, man. We're not doing a show on that shit, man. Yep. You're not going to have me staying up to like 1 o'clock in the morning watching no goddamn wrestling night.
I am going... Oh, I forgot about the time. Oh, shit. I am going to watch, though.
You're not going to be able to do it. Hey, did you watch Collision? You didn't watch Collision?
Oh, no, so no, we can. No. I watched just the clips online. I watched that horrible-ass NBA All-Star game on Sunday. You didn't watch that, E.
Yo.
It was funny because I was touting E. I just talked about it on the our New Year's show. I was like, yeah, E's like the NBA guy. He was like, man, I don't even watch NBA like that. He didn't even watch the All-Star game. I think we all was watching it besides E. That was really, really bad.
That was awful.
Yeah, they got to figure that out.
You know what it felt like? And we can go. It felt like some of your friends was like party promoters and they put on a party and they try to put something together for the community. And then like everybody didn't show up. All of the guest celebrities were supposed to show up. It just felt like it went on and like halftime. Then it was another halftime. And then it was like, wait, there's only two halves to make a whole. What's happening here? And then by the time the final game started, I'm just like, okay, what?
Everybody
what are
cold,
we even doing
so
up?
They went like 350 from the 3-point line. So they all been rising sitting stars for 45 minutes watching
up and coming stars.
Kevin Hart with his bad stand up. And we did get to see Sweetie. She looked fantastic. So shout out to that. Shout out to En Vogue. They look great.
Yeah.
The aunties up there doing the big. So I did enjoy that. But basketball wise,
that was tough.
Obama said, fix your game. Shit. Fix your game.
He's right. All right, y'all. Y'all got anything else? Or did y'all, is that everything?
I think that's it. Hey, guess what? We went over 90 minutes, y'all.
Told you we were. I'm not letting y'all deprive our fans of this show. We're not giving them a 45 minutes.
Hey,
but if it's the best 45 minutes of their life, guys,
I'm editing the shit out of this audio. Y'all getting this 45 minutes, goddamn it. I don't know what I'm cutting, but we cutting about at least a good 30 something minutes of this show.
We out of here, y'all. We already went through promoting the pie. We already told you guys what to do. Like, subscribe, please continue to do that. We appreciate you guys. We love you guys. We'll be back next week to give you more ridiculousness, I'm sure, and talk about this Elimination Chamber. They've only got four matches announced. We got to get to at least five. If not, we'll be talking about Elimination Chamber like we were the NBA All-Star game.
No, it's only three for Elimination Chamber right now.
That's even worse. They got to go at least two more to not be the NBA All-Star game. I'll let y'all next week.